Undateables is a podcast about being single and be you, and is hosted by me, Amanda, and Pernell. So, hello everyone. Hi, Pernell.
Hi, Amanda. This is like our first time talking with each other. This is fun.
Yeah, literally, this is the first time we are talking with each other in the first episode of the new podcast that we are doing. This is exciting.
Yeah. So you're talking from London, and then I'm talking from LA, so...
Exactly. Yeah. I would like to as well thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate the fact that you just jumped on this project with me. Like, literally, I was just a stranger sliding to your DM saying, like, let's do a podcast, and you say yes.
No, I think that was so much fun. And like, when you talked about me with the concept, I immediately thought, you know, that's something I like talking about already. But also too, it's just how I thought, how fun would it be to kind of have a modern day pen pal, you know, like that's literally across on the other side of the world in a fun different way. So this is it.
True. I didn't thought about this perspective, but yeah, like we are in completely different places, but still with a lot of similarities. Like, it's a big city, a city that people go to work and go to make dreams come true. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, everyone is so focused on themselves, I think, in London, in LA, that yeah. It's quite hard to date sometimes, but quite fun.
100%. I firmly believe all the guys here in LA are trash, but I mean, if you're telling me it's the same in London, then
I think I like to keep my hope. I think it's because of my parents and the relationship that they have, and I would like to not have a hope, but I still have it deep down me, like a hope that someday someone is good, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's definitely, yeah.
But it's hard.
Yeah, it's, there's plenty of nice people out there. And I mean, we're both two of them, you know what I mean? It's just easier for me to say that everybody's trash.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of nice people, but nice people do bad things sometimes as well.
So it's a really good way to put it. Exactly. Everybody's flawed.
Yeah, like we are all there and we're gonna break some hearts at some point because we don't have time or we are just too focused on ourselves or things like that. So there is a lot of expectations, but at the same time, I think a lot of selfishness or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, I think we should start talking about the story that brought us together, okay. Which was the fantastic story that you went to like a night solo, I think on Valentine's Day, and you end up.
So do you want to ask me about it, or should I just launch into this horrible?
No, just go for it. Like, I don't want to give spoil to people because it's a fantastic story, and it's just when I was reading that, I was just connecting to it so much. So yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, so you know, a few weeks ago it was Valentine's Day/Valentine's Week, and you know, I'm single, and I thought it might be fun, basically, to you know, basically celebrate Valentine's Day, you know, with myself and everything. And so I made it a point. There was this bar that I kept hearing about on the radio. It was called the Breakup Bar, and it was in Hollywood. And as soon as I heard the word Breakup Bar, I was like, ooh, that sounds interesting.
And it's such a good name.
Exactly. You know, they roped me right in with that. And so they were talking about how at the Breakup Bar, like they would have like wine flights. And so they, you know, one, it was the name of the bar, Breakup Bar. And then two, it was, they talked about wine flights. And so I immediately, you know, signed up for like a ticket online because you had to buy like a ticket, and they kind of made it sound like it was a bar for single. Well, not necessarily for singles, but, you know, for people that weren't celebrate Valentine's Day with somebody else. Yeah. So I was really excited. And so I feel so stupid talking about the story. But
it's fantastic. Please don't. It's just like the kind of story that makes people relate. Like I related to you so much on that point. So it's, for me, it's a fantastic story.
Thank you. Okay. So yeah, I bought tickets and I ended up getting really excited. So this was the Tuesday before Valentine's Day. And so I had my reservation for 11 p.m. that night. And so I got home, you know, had dinner, and then, you know, I actually...
It's the kind of bar that you need reservations for.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, but, you know, I was assuming just because it was like a pop-up bar, so it was...
Yeah.
It was limited seating and limited time, and then I think just the theme of the theme of the bar... Maybe it was really exciting, actually. So it was interesting. The reason why I bought the 11 p.m. ticket was because that was the only one that was available for that night. Because, you know, Valentine's Day was already sold out. The weekend was sold out. So, you know, it was popular, like, at least online.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of anticipation. So I was very, very excited. And so I actually even took it a step further and decided to go in a suit.
Oh my god, like, you know, really go for it.
Yeah, just really go for it. I mean, I didn't wear, like, you know, like a tuck, like a
yeah, but you dress up like,
yeah,
I'm having a dating with myself or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that I chose to just wear sneakers, because I think if I actually wore the suit with the dressed shoes, I would have felt very, very embarrassed. So I felt casual enough, you know, dressing in the suit and sneakers. So I get to Hollywood and get very excited. I open the door to the bar, and I don't know what I was expecting, but so I open the door to the bar, and immediately I see signs advertising for an upcoming Netflix show, and I realize that I had just stepped into a Netflix promotional bar. And
you realize it straight away, so.
Yeah. I realized immediately that once again, I had fallen for this trap of advertising. And I
you know, what is the concept of that? Like, it was a bar. The bar is not created for that, no? Like, you were saying that the bar was already, like, something that you wanted to go to.
Yeah.
So it was just that night that it was for the promotion of the Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. So or not just for that night, but for, like, you know, that week, pretty much. Yeah, the bar, I forgot what the bar is actually called, like, the real name of the bar, but for that week, you know, they basically took over that existing bar, and they made it look different. And, you know, I guess the actual decorations was really cool. Like, inside they had, I thought it was kind of cute. They had, I guess like breakup notes, like, on the walls and stuff like that. I think some of them were fake, honestly, but you never know now. But yes, you know, they had, like, breakup notes and breakup text messages and just, you know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and they had, like, I'm trying to describe it, but so on the other, and then on they also had, like, little art installations in terms of, like, so they had divorce papers on the wall, and then in the, you know how in the museum they have, like, the title cards of the art? So so for example, like, they had divorce papers on the wall, and then under that, like, a title card of, I think it was, of just basically why our marriage went wrong or something like that. So I thought it was interesting in that aspect. You know, they were also playing, like, I thought it was kind of ironic that they were playing "To All the Boys I've Ever Loved" in the back of the bar, because the bar was called the Freedom Bar. So I'm like, you're playing this romantic movie in this bar.
Yeah. Because I think it's about, there is a series on Netflix or something that calls The Heartbreakers or something like that. Exactly. I think it's about, like,
yeah.
Is this one?
Yeah, so they were advertising for the Breaker Uppers on Netflix.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize, you know, I went, and the thing is I think, you know, I talked to my coworker about it, you know, the next day, because I still had a, I tried to make the most of it. You know, the wine flight was okay. It wasn't the best. yeah. So I think I was
like, I am already here. I'm already wearing a suit. So
exactly. I think it's kind of funny.
But how was the other people there? Like, you felt that the other people were like scammed as well, or like people knew that they were in the Netflix, like they act like they were just like comfortable being there?
I'm not too sure. I mean, to be honest, I wish I would have paid. It was a very small bar, so there wasn't that much many people, but I wish I would have paid more attention to my surroundings. But I think I just in that moment was very, I don't want to say like upset, but I was just kind of very like, I want to get out of here as soon as possible.
Yeah, it's so disappointing. Like,
yeah, but
oh gosh.
Yeah, I think also the thing that kind of made it a little strange was that, you know, I think I went into it with the intention that it seemed like the bar was set up for people that weren't celebrating Valentine's Day with someone else, but everyone at the bar pretty much was in groups there was maybe two groups of friends there, then like large groups, all girls, all women. I mean, and that was fine. But there was, I also thought there was like another couple that was next to me. I could totally tell they were on a first date. And
oh my God, no, yeah. This is even worse.
It was so ironic because I'm like, we're doing this bar. That I was told is supposed to be, you know, a different Valentine's Day experience. And even here, I can't escape.
Oh, God.
So I, even in that moment, I was laughing at it, just how ridiculous it was. But, so the next day after, you know, I had kind of slept on it, I told my coworker what happened, and she kind of articulated like why I was so upset, but she was saying, oh my gosh, that's so upsetting that even when you're trying to do this one wholesome thing, that even the people that are marketing, they can't even let you have that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I think that's why I was so frustrated. It's because I thought it was a very like self-loving, like, I thought in my head I was doing like a radical act of self-love, and in reality it was, I fell for a marketing scheme.
But no, you were doing, like, not many people are brave to do that, like to go out alone, especially in the time like Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So it was a very brave thing to do. It's just that this is one of the things, that's why I related to it so much, is when you do this kind of things, it looks like the universe is just like, you know, laughing at it. Like,
yeah,
it's just like, it looks like a joke of the universe. It's just like, oh, you're trying to go out and love yourself and have a good time today in the Valentine's Day week. No, no, no.
Exactly.
Here is what you get.
It's just like, that's how it really felt like, honestly. That's how it did feel.
Yes, but it's like, it's a good story because of that. Like, you put yourself there, you're vulnerable, you're doing something for yourself, you're basically like trying to give a middle finger to the universe, like, I am single, I gonna have fun, like, I'm not going to be at home feeling sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. And then something happened.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, like, it's sad as well at the same time that as a single person, there is no much options for you to do. Like, you can go to a nightclub, like, if someone still goes to nightclubs and mm-hmm. and things like that. But to do things by yourself is sometimes quite, like, difficult because you have to face, exactly like you said, like, even there was, like, a couple on the first date. And so it looks like all the time you're feeling the pressure somehow.
I would definitely say that's true. I mean, you know, here, like, even living in Los Angeles, there's, like, so much to do. And I actually do go do a lot of things alone.
Yeah.
But even then, like, how do I say this? So even when I go to things alone, though, there are those times where I start to get really, I don't want to say, like, sad, but I start feeling alone only because, you know, I'm not articulating this so well, but basically there are some times when I'll go out and like I'm not thinking about, you know, oh, I'm alone, but then, you know, I'll have like this moment that, you know, it's really fun and it's really happy. And then I see other people around me sharing that with someone else. And I think, should I be doing that as well? Like, should I be sharing that with someone? But I'm only having this moment with myself right now. And sometimes I wonder if like that makes it any, and I know that's not true, but sometimes in that moment I feel like because I'm just sharing it with myself, it might not be as real, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like not so valuable, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I think every single person relates to that, you know, even if you have a boyfriend, even if you have someone, like you're not with this person all the time. Mm-hmm. And probably when you're alone as well, you think like, should I be sharing this with someone? Should I be like, you know, having this experience like everyone else? And it's hard to, like, even you feel that sometimes you are judged by other people,
mm-hmm.
which is the most, for me, it's just like the weird thing. If you're listening to it, don't judge anyone who is alone in a bar or alone in the restaurant or anywhere. It's just this person is just trying to do something, because you have two choices. Or like, for example, you really want to go, I don't know, for a concert, but you have no friends to go with, or you don't have a relationship, then you're going to go by yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you know? Because you have two options. Or you stay at home,
mm-hmm.
and you lose your life and you lose experiences that you would like to have just because you don't have someone to be there with you. Or you just go and you embrace it and you try to leave that. So I think no one should judge someone who's alone at the bar, restaurant, concert, traveling alone. I travel alone a lot, and every single time I say to someone, oh, I was, I don't know, in this city, and every time people ask like, you were alone, you were with someone, and I say, no, I was by myself. And every time there is that little moment that the person thinks like, oh, I would never do that. I would never be alone traveling. Which for me is just like, what?
Yeah, I totally feel that a lot. Yeah, can you tell, I would love to hear more about your experiences, you know, to events that you've gone alone to and how that was, I guess.
Yeah, like for me, it's not about I am single in the way that this is a period of my life that I'm single. I've been always single. I never been in a serious relationship. My longest relationship, I think, was about, I'm going to be real, I all the time I say to people a little bit longer, because I feel that it should be a little bit longer for people to validate that.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, my longest relationship was probably about 4 months, 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to point out that we should not judge the relationship of people by the time that they spend together. Because sometimes you are with a person for 1 month and it's very intense. You learn a lot. This person becomes something very special for you. And I know a lot of people that they are in relationships for like 2 years and they are strangers to each other.
Oh yeah, exactly. I totally agree with you on that. That, you know, just because you're together for a long period of time doesn't make you closer, or doesn't mean that you're close automatically.
Yeah, or it doesn't mean that this is more special and more meaningful than someone who have been in a relationship for only 2 months or even 2 weeks. Like, I recently just met someone that I spent 2 weeks with, and we were literally seeing each other every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was quite intense. So sometimes I know some girlfriends of mine that they met a guy, they date for like 2 months, 3 months, but they see each other like once every 2 weeks because they are too busy. you know, and they go for a little dinner. I mean, every relationship is valid for whatever reason. You should just be in a relationship if this is good for you anyway. If it's good for you to just see someone sporadically, go for a little meal and have a little conversation, it's fine. But yeah, we should not judge people because, like, oh, you've been in a relationship for 4 months, or you've never been to a relationship, or things like that.
Definitely agree with that. I'm so fascinated to hear you say that. So you would say that how would you describe your dating style from what I'm hearing? And I feel like we're very similar in this sense, but you're open to you're open to short, not short romances, but like, you know, like firecracker romances, like very short, but like very intense. And you know, you both learn something from it or walk away from it, you know, with a good memory and good feeling. Is that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. I think people overthink a lot. I think people are just like, of course, I met a lot of people in my life that they were just like, I wanted to take it very slow. I just came out of a relationship or forever other reason. At the moment, I wanted to go in another pace, which is fair enough. It's not all the time that you want to jump on that, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think it's a little bit related to the fact that I moved to London, and I moved to London just to try and see how the city was. And I love London since the first time I came here, so I really wanted to live here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to here, I literally moved without knowing anyone. And for some reason, I am from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason, I don't fancy Brazilian guys that much. So in Brazil for a long time, I was not dating anyone because there was not much connection.
Mm-hmm.
But London for me is like being a candy shop when you're a kid. Like all the guys are just like, my God, everyone in the city, they are like so interesting and not just like good looking, but do you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know because I don't live in London. Like, what are the men like in London? Like, you know, my only impression, and this is not accurate at all, of like, you know, men in London is probably based off of like Love Actually and What a Girl Wants.
No, this is not. This is totally not. Like, they are very, I think. I don't want to go much on that. Like, I've been here for a long time now, so the honeymoon phase is past and I can see the cracks on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say that London have a bad side because, for me. This is all my personal opinion, just let's say like that. I love London. This is the city that I want to be, so I'm not complaining about anything. But I think in London, and tell me if in LA is similar as well, because I think it can be in a way, but London is a city that everyone comes to give a try. Once I heard about the grasshopper concept, that people like London is a grasshopper city or something like that. That people come here, they take as much as they can from the city and they move on. Do you know? No one wants to establish themselves in London. Like, London is a city to be young, is a city to be like, to want to have experiences, to want to jump from one job to another, to add things in your CV, to just make the most, and then you're going to find someone, get married, and move it to the country, to the countryside, or move to smaller city or to another city in Europe. So in London, no one is from London. Everyone is from somewhere else. So things happen very quickly. Do you know? Like, 1 year you are here, the next year maybe you got a job in Amsterdam, you're going to move to Amsterdam. The next year, maybe you're going to move back to your city, whatever it is. And So people, they have this mindset already that things are not permanent. So you cannot create deep connections with anything and anyone.
Mm.
So I think it's already in the mindset of people here. But it's a lovely city because for me, it's just you literally can meet people from everywhere. And nowadays, the time that we are living, that we have Tinder, we have Bumble, Grindr, yeah. Like literally, we can meet people that we would not never meet in real life. Like we would never have a connection with, not like a connection in a way, but a connection in a way like to have someone to introduce you to this person because they work in a completely different field or they live in a completely different area or... Do you know, they have completely different lifestyles of yours. But nowadays, we are able to meet these people. So for me, this is fascinating. That's why I go so intensely, in a way, to meet people, mm. because I want to know who they are, where they are from, how it is their life in London, like what is the experience that they have. And yeah, I think I'm just a curious person.
I think it's good to be curious, for sure. I mean, if I was in London, I would be very curious as well, honestly. but yeah, no, I really think you kind of nailed it on the head when you were saying, or I don't know what the phrase is, but you know, hit the nail on the head. There you go. I think you really hit the nail on the head when you were saying that Tinder is kind of like, or not necessarily Tinder, just Tinder, but you know, these dating apps.
Yeah.
It's fascinating that, like you just said, you know, we're able to meet these people that, especially in London, I've been to London, you know, I think like twice and not for very long, maybe like for less than 48 hours for both times, but there's just so many people in London. It's like, you know, you pass these people on the streets every day, or you know, you pass, I mean, not the same people in the streets every day, but you pass so many people in the streets. You're not even paying attention probably of like who this person is or what that person's going or, you know, and then I'm trying to think of the word, but it's kind of comforting being able to, you know, go onto these dating apps and kind of finally put a story to these faces that you've been seeing around, you know?
Yeah, like totally. You can, and for me as well, it's about like kind of comparing experiences. I like to know, do you know, because in London, like there is people loving the city, there is people hating the city, but they are here for money.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that are neutral to the city. They just think that is a normal city, it's just another city. So for mm-hmm. me, it's just like fascinating to like meet all those people and kind of trying to get something from them. Like, and
yeah,
the superficial essence, because of course, like you are not in a relationship with these people. You're just dating them for a couple of weeks or something. So you get in the surface, but sometimes it's incredible because in London as well, they like to say that everything is okay. So everything is always amazing. My job is amazing. My house is amazing. I love everything. It's all fine.
And it's not amazing.
No, it's not. It's not. Like, we have to do that. Like, when I first moved to London, I dated a guy. He was handsome. Like, I have to say, he was just, like, the most handsome guy I ever dated. Mm-hmm. But he was already, as well, like, sorry to say, a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
He was not very... He was a proper...
I'm glad to hear. Yeah,
he was the what is the word, like the fuck boy. Sorry to say that, but we have to use this term because if you're dating, you know what a fuck boy is, and he was a fuck boy. Like,
those are the words.
Picture of it.
Oh my goodness, I hate that, and I, you know, I'm kind of, it's kind of comforting to know that they exist everywhere in the world, but also horrible to know that they exist in everywhere in the world, because we definitely have those in Los Angeles too.
Oh yeah, this is like, that's why I was like, sorry, I'm gonna say that, like I'm gonna use the word fuck, but there is no other word to use. Is a fuckboy is a term that everyone knows. If you're using, I think if you're using like apps and dating nowadays, you're gonna come across to this kind of people. It doesn't matter where you are. Like literally, I have friends dating in Brazil and they come across people like that as well. It's just a person that wants to just have a good time and not have any feelings. And he was very honest about it. Like, so I really appreciate it. I hate when they are not honest about it.
You know, yeah,
when they look like they are a nice person and you just think like, oh, this person is going to be fine. And then you sleep with them and they disappeared. And then after 2 weeks, they text you like on a Saturday night, what are you up to? And you're just like, really? You are a fuckboy. I didn't realize that.
Or my favorite thing is when, you know, they'll disappear and they'll text you and they'll, like, when they reemerge from the dead, you know, they're basically like, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I've been going through a lot of things, or like, I've been busy, or like, work has been like really hard. And I'm like, it's been, did your hands fall off? Like, what happened? You know, like, it's disturbing. I'm like, yeah.
So you hate when they just they come from the dead but they are just doing a small talk?
Yeah, it's like, I guess basically I think it's kind of, you know, when you were when you had said, you know, when the fuck boy, you know, the guy that you were dating, when he was being very honest, I like that as well. You know, I mean, I don't know if I would do, you know, engage with this person, but I at least appreciate that they're being honest, because I, you know, it's incredibly frustrating, you know, it's been incredibly frustrating, like in the past that it's happened to me that, you know, I'll be, you know, with these, you know, not dating, but, you know, seeing these men for a little bit and then, you know, they'll kind of disappear and then they'll try to come back into my life because it's convenient for them. But it's like, you know, just because it's convenient for you, it doesn't mean that when you, like, it's very disrespectful, I think, you know?
Do you think, like, even because there is two types, at least that I identify, there is the guy that is going to sleep with you or something, and then he's going to disappear and he's going to appear again in a Saturday night just wanting to come to your place. He doesn't want to talk with you, he doesn't want to engage in a conversation again for like a week and then invite you to drinks and sleep with you again. He's just going to go directly to the point. And there is the guy that you're gonna have dates, maybe you're gonna sleep with him, maybe not, he's going to disappear, and then after he appears again, and then you get a little bit confused, like, what do you want? Because, like, you know, it looks like they are just alone or maybe just bored and they were scrolling through their contact list and they saw your name and, oh, let's text this person. So I find those two different kind of people. So which one do you think it happens with you more, or which one is annoying you more?
I think... you know, I think for both of those kind of, you know, like, at least now in my life, like, I don't really engage with either of those types, just because I'm not interested in that at all, and I don't want to, like, encourage that behavior. But I would say for me that I find the latter more annoying, just because it kind of messes with you, you know, think at least, you know, with the first person, it's kind of like, okay, you're going to use me for sex. Well, I'm just using you for sex too. You know, you can kind of like, it's like you.
It's more
like
honest in a way.
It's like there's an implicit agreement, but the other way, it's like, it's just frustrating because it's, you know, it's this person that's coming in and maybe you did have feelings, or not necessarily, even if you had, it doesn't even matter if I had feelings for that person. It's more just like, I think it's, very, I think it's just rude to just come back into someone's life just and, you know, use this excuse. I understand that people are busy, but it's strange to, like, you know, disappear for someone from someone's life for, like, you know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever, and then come back with just this expectation that you can just pick up where you left off. Because, I mean, I don't think anybody, I'm not articulating this well, but basically what I'm trying to say is, everyone has their right to, like, what, you know, a relationship or what a friendship is. And I think that should always be, I think, like, honored. And so basically what I'm trying to say here is, you know, I wouldn't mind if, you know, this person, you know, hit me up, you know, after a while and, you know, slowly started building up that trust. But I do think it's weird for them to just disappear and then come back and then expect that same trust to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But I think the whole problem is about how honest this person is being. If this person is like, oh, I was very busy, I'm sorry. But the fact is that this person was not busy at all. Mm-hmm. He was just like doing something else. And then one day he felt bored and he was just like contacting you again. But the other thing is when they are really busy for some reason, or because this can happen, like you can get caught in something, especially when you're recently dating someone and this person is still not on top of your list, kind of, but you kind of like this person and you kind of want to see this person again, but there is other things in front of it on your list, like, I don't know, a big thing happening at work. In London, there is always something happening, like maybe you have a lot of things to do during the evenings. So I think the problem is always when the person is not very honest and you feel that this person is using you, like you pointed out.
I think so too. Yeah, that's definitely a problem. But I think even with the example you just brought up, like, I think there's, because yeah, you're totally right. You know, I get busy a lot too. You know, you just here in LA, you know, that whole big city, big dreams, little time kind of concept. But that's kind of the reason, like, why I'm not dating though right now, is because I know that I don't have the time necessarily. Like, I don't.
Oh my god, it's so much me as well, not dating at the moment.
Yeah, because of the time. It's, you know, whenever people ask me, you know, like, why I'm not dating, I think I kind of joke around and say, I just kind of keep it lightly and I say, like, oh, it's because, like, I don't really have time. But what I really mean is I don't have the time that I just know that, you know, I just know that the kind of relationship that I would want to have or that I would want to get into, it does require time and it requires communication. And, you know, just this kind of vulnerability with, you know, this other person. And that's not something that I can give right now.
And I see.
Yeah. Do you relate to that? Or?
But when you say that you don't have, so you're saying you don't really have time to dedicate yourself to someone. That's what you're saying? Or?
I think it's more, yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to say. It's, I understand that, you know, okay, maybe, can you ask me that question again in a different way?
Yeah, just like, what do you think, you are not dating at all, like you decided to not do that, you are not looking for it, or you just close yourself, like, not close yourself, because we are never, like, this concept doesn't exist very well. Like, if we met someone, everyone, if we met someone who is different, who brings something new, like the person, it doesn't matter what's happening in your life, you're gonna go for it. But what I'm trying to ask is just like, you physically don't have time because you have so much things to do, or you think that now you would like to have something a little bit more meaningful, a little bit more deep, and you kind of don't find time for that? Or,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Or you're hiding it because you think that there is not many people around. Because we all go through that, like, oh my God, I'm looking for someone a little bit more special, a little bit something a little bit less superficial, and all I find is like very dull people. So I'm gonna give a break on it.
What's your situation at the moment? I see what you're saying. I articulated it wrong. Okay, so I'm not like this very super busy person because I don't know, like, basically what I feel like the busiest people are just people that don't know how to manage their time very well. And
I don't believe in busy people as well. Like what you are doing between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning, like you're sleeping, exactly. So you're not busy.
And I think that's me is like, I don't know how to manage my time very well. And I think I'm still trying to learn how to do that with even just myself. And, you know, I think that bringing, you know, another guy into this would just be kind of irresponsible, like, because I don't know how to balance my own time. So then me balancing my time plus someone else's might just not be, it wouldn't be a recipe for something good is what I'm trying to say. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if someone comes up that you really feel something special with, like, you're open to give a try?
It depends. I think actually right now what I'm trying to do in terms of people like that, because, you know, I have had, it's not like, you know, I live in LA and I'm like, I'm young or whatever, and these people have definitely have like come into my life. But I think right now my approach is more, I want to be friends first, because the reason why I want to be friends first is because I think for me, friends are actually like a big priority to me, and I will make time for my friends. So then if I'm able to have this foundation of like, oh, we're friends and, you know, we're getting to know each other that way first, then I think that is me being open. But as far as I don't really have this approach now where like I'll meet people and think of them like, oh, I want to date you like romantically, like away, like right away kind of thing. It's more just like, okay, like let's get to know each other first and see if we click or not if we click, but just, you know, hang out as friends, make time like that first, and then just kind of go from there. I feel like I'm rambling. I don't know.
No, it's totally, yeah, I can totally relate to that as well, because recently I thought I wanted to be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, I have this joke in my mind with myself that, like, weirdly enough, since I moved to London and I start dating, every year is like, it follows a pattern. So 1 year is the year that I have relationships. I date people and I date them for a long time, let's say, like, not just for a couple of weeks, or it becomes something a little bit more, you know, less superficial, let's say, like that. And then in the other year is going to be just like very brief dates, like literally no one is going to bound. Everyone is going to, this is the correct word. Anyone is going to stay, like everyone is going to be like, is going to be a mess. So 1 year is good relationships. The other year is like quick and like multiple relationships and all. And this year, it's supposed to be the year that I have long relationships.
So, oh, it's a cycle. Okay, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I see this pattern, like, and then in my mind is like a pattern. But so this year I met this guy and I thought like, I want to be in a relationship because this is the year. The last relationship I have been to was 1 year ago in 2017. Like more than 1 year now. But so I wanted to be in a relationship and I met this guy and we got like very intense. Like it was something that was not happening with me for a long time. I didn't have this connection with someone for a long time. So even I went to my therapy and I told my therapist, like, I really like this guy and I'm quite scared with that. But in the end, it didn't work out. And I realized that I really don't want to be in a relationship now. I really don't have, like, literally, I don't have time. I am still sleeping from 12 to 6. But I have so much things to do. Like, I'm studying, I'm working full time. I want to find better opportunities for me in London, because now I've been here already for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I want to make a decision if I should stay for longer or not. Mm-hmm. So I really want to take the most of myself this year.
I love that. Yeah.
Do you know? And meeting this guy, I figure out that I really don't want to date. Like, I physically cannot date, because I date him. And for 2 weeks of my life, I was just seeing him. Or the times that I was not seeing him, I was planning to see him, or thinking about him, if he's going to text me.
Gosh, yes.
If he's going to, do you know? So, like, literally for 2 weeks, there was nothing else in my life.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I feel like you and I are so, like, when is your birthday? Like, what's your birthday? Is it weird for me to ask that?
No, it's totally fine. I am so into it as well. I'm from January, so I'm Aquarius.
Okay, I'm a Taurus.
What is the word? Do you know you have your star sign, and then you have your, what's the other name in English?
I think it's your moon, your rising.
You have a moon, but you have, like, there is the other sign, the ascendant. I don't know in English.
Oh, the ascending.
Yeah. And they say that after you are, after a time, you become your ascendant. You're not, like, your star sign gets a little bit lighter. And I am a Taurus as well. And I relate totally to Taurus. Like, I have half a half.
The reason I brought that up was because I just feel like the stereotype for, like, Tauruses are, like, you know, and I feel this a lot too, it's very intense romances, like, or we get very intense and caught up with things, you know. So kind of just like how you were saying, you know, that all you can think about is this person, whenever you're with him, you want to be with him, and then when you're apart from him, you want to plan to be with him. That's why I kind of hate dating, honestly, because I get carried away. I've noticed I do the same thing.
Yeah, it's so time consuming. Like, you, even if you don't like the person very much, but you're still having, like, you're still on this, like, waiting for the person. This person's going to text me. It's not, like, what's going to happen now? Especially when you like the person, it becomes like something very big.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I love like those rom-com movies, and I never want my life to be like one of those, but I feel like subconsciously, like, you know, when this guy comes into my life, my life starts becoming one, because all I can do is, like, think about this person and talk about this person, and I'm at that, you know, it's like I don't want my life to revolve around my dating life. Do you know what I mean? And I think you do know what I mean, because that's what you were just saying. That,
yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I totally understand, and that's what I got to the conclusion of. Like, I want to be in a relationship, but at this moment, what I needed is something that I cannot have. I needed to already be in a relationship for a long time, like someone who is already in my life. Do you know, someone who I don't need to to go deeper and to just, like, meet this person, like someone who would understand me, to say, like, listen, for 1 month I need time for myself. We're not going to see each other that much, or you can just come to my house and quietly stay in the bed reading something while I just, like, work in my computer, do you know?
Yeah.
And not someone new. Like, someone new is not going to be like that, because it's going to be exciting, it's going to be like, let's go out, let's do things, let's, you know, I'm gonna cook for you, and they want to impress you, you want to impress them.
Yeah.
And it's not
tiring.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you brought up that example, by the way, of, you know, inviting someone over to sit in your bed and study quietly, because that sounds like the perfect date to me. I'm just like, can I do my own thing while you just sit in my room.
Yes, me too. It's totally like that. Like relationship goals, like a guy that's going to come, he's going to be reading a nice book in bed and I'm going to be like doing something else. And we are in the comfort quietness and we don't feel that we need to say things to each other. We are just doing our things, but enjoying each other's company.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the catch 22 of that is, you know, you have to go through that that intense period with someone, you know, for a while and let it cool off before you can get to the sit in my bed and read a book. I wish we could just start with that, but you know, that might be weird.
Yeah, exactly. Most people are gonna be like, no. I had it before. I never had like long relationships, but I had it before when the personality of the person is a little bit more calm and a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more introvert, like me, for example. Mm-hmm. So I think it's possible in a way, if the person already, like most people, they find it weird. They find like silence is a bad thing, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's not. Like people just have to stop overthinking about everything as well. But I agree that is very difficult in the beginning because you just want to take the most of this person and, you know, you're just thinking about them all the time. So when you see them, you want to have experiences with them. And I agree, but more people should be open to just relax.
I feel that, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I even have a hard time convincing friends to do that because, especially here living in LA, they always want to do something. You know, it's like, oh, let's go to this and let's go to that, and I'm more like, I'm reading. that's funny. Can I ask a follow up question? So, you know, you're talking to me now about, you know, kind of why it is you kind of are wanting to break the cycle, you know, of dating, you know, like in a longer term relationship. It's because you want to enjoy this time being single. So how else do you how else, like, what's it like being single in London for you, and how do you embrace that, I guess?
I think at the moment it's just as I said, I am single. It's not like, oh, I was in a relationship for a long time and then at this brief period of time I'm single. I wish I was one of those people saying, oh, I'm discovering how it is to be finally single and I'm loving it. No, I want to be in a relationship. In a relationship, my parents, they have the greatest relationship. So I have a model like that is very hard to follow. Mm-hmm. And I want to be in a relationship. I want to be with someone. I want to find someone who is special and who can share the life with me and things like that. But it's just, in London is hard, like exactly for the reasons that I was saying before. People here are not used to create bonds because they know they're going to move at some point. And as well, nowadays, I think we have this feeling that there is always something better somewhere.
Mm. Oh, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. No.
Which yeah, is totally one of true. The things. Yeah. One of the things that my mom always say to me is that like relationships are hard. Like you have to go through a lot of things. You have to like swallow a lot of things that you don't like, but you cannot make like an argument about it, and you have to wait to think and then go and discuss about it. And I think nowadays, like, I feel that what happens in big cities like London, literally, if I go to my Tinder now, I can have a date for tonight. Like, probably because I am a woman as well, it's a little bit more easier for me. But a guy can have a date in at least 1 week. Like, come on. Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's so easy for you. You are dating someone and then suddenly they say something that you don't like. you don't even ask, do you know? You don't even go deeper. You don't even like try, because maybe but you didn't interpret it in the right way, but that's it. Do you know? Then suddenly you don't want to date this person anymore because you have funny opinions about this or that, or you don't want to date this person anymore because she was wearing funny clothes, like she was like laughing a funny way, or do you know, such silly things. I think then people move over like quite quickly as well.
Yes. So
that's why I find that is quite hard, because like people don't give you time at the same moment. I find myself a person that I really go, like sometimes even I think it's not a good thing that sometimes I go to dates with people that I already not very into, but I'm just like, do you know what? In two dates, do I really know this person?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? If this person wants to see me again, like, do you know, maybe I'm going to go. Let's see if I'm going to have the same idea about it. So I think I should not do that. I wish I was a person a little bit more like, do you know what? I don't think we are a match. I'm going to move on. And that's it. Like, you know, next. But
you say you're not that kind of person, or you?
No, I'm not.
Got it. Okay.
I'm not. But most people are. Like,
I feel like I might be one of those people.
Yeah, I was, fair enough. I wish I was. I don't know why, but I always think like, oh, let's just give another chance.
Well, I think that's a good thing. I mean, just because, so there's this book that was written, you know, a while back, and basically they were kind of talking about how people in older generations, and when I say older generations, I mean like, you know, like probably like just like our parents, you know.
Yeah.
They found that like a lot of those marriages and like those relationships like happened because like they started because of how do you say this? You know that their paths of life, basically they were already a part of each other's life. Like, so for example, like my dad was my mom's TA like in college. Or like, how did your parents meet? Can I ask you? Like,
they is not a good example. They met in a nightclub.
Well, you know, even then, you know, they met in a nightclub, and you know, so I'm assuming maybe they had gone to that club before, you know, and everything. But basically, what they were trying to say is that our previous generation, the reason why maybe some more, like why a lot more of those relationships have lasted longer is because there's this idea that they had this understanding that marriage is something that is built, and like relationships are something that are built. And I do think that because of, you know, dating apps, especially today, and just kind of this what's next attitude, it's very easy for people like us to just think, you know, there's something better out there. But the truth is, you know, it's not that they're isn't something better out there, but sometimes, you know, the better just needs some work. I wonder if why it is, but it definitely feels more of a modern problem. You know, people are ready to move on very quickly, especially I don't know if you've experienced this too, but I've had people like that have moved on from me in my life, but they still hang around, like,
oh yeah, like, yeah, watching all your stories on Instagram, like 100%. And then one day you're like, oh, you're watching my Instagrams for 1 year, so we're gonna text you and invite you for a drink, and this person says, yeah, just as a friend. And you're like, why are you watching my Instagrams if you want to be friends with me? Like,
exactly. It's so easy now to just, you know, kind of stop talking, like, not, I don't want to say stop talking to someone, but still feel like you're a part of someone's life, but you're actually not, because all you're doing is watching their stories.
I really don't understand, by the way. I don't watch any of my ex's stories. I think this is a very personal thing to do. And I believe, I'm a firmly believe that what the eyes don't see, the heart don't feel. So I don't feel comfortable seeing them moving on with their lives. Like, oh, look, this guy I used to date and this is the new girl in his life. I really don't feel comfortable in that. So I prefer to just like, let's become strangers again, do you know? I'm always open. Like, you can text me if you have a problem and if you need someone to talk with. But I am not a firmly believer in friendship after dating. I'm sorry to say that.
No, I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing to say. It's, I definitely feel that same way in terms of myself, but at the same time, I wish I wasn't, because I do kind of envy those, you know, relationships, or not really. I do envy whenever my friends kind of talk about how like they still talk to their exes, because I feel like that's healthy, you know what I mean? But
do you think?
I think so, only because, I mean, I'll never do it, but I'll never do it.
They say that probably because they are in a new and fresh and much better relationship, no? Because it's easy when you have a new person in your life to be friends with all your exes. I would be friends with all my exes if I was with a very nice person.
That's true. I mean, yeah, that could be one reason. I mean, I do know also, I know a few couples, or not couples, but I have a few friends that I know of that, you know, they broke up with their ex on mutual terms. And so, you know, and they're both single, but they just, you know, they just chose to stop dating each other. And, you know, and instead of going into that, you know, single life alone, you know, they go into the single life together. And I've always kind of been fascinated and very skeptical.
Really?
With that. Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, yeah, I think we should invite one of those people to come here and talk with us, because I would love to, like, how can you be so mature to be like, oh, do you know what? I don't love you anymore. You don't love me anymore. Like, I think it's impossible. There is always someone who's going to have a little bit more of feelings than the other person. Do you know? It's impossible to be in a place of mind that you both are not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this happens, but I am just fascinated by the concept, like, this can happen and people can just move on. Like,
it's strange, you know? Yeah, I mean, it'll never happen to me. I'm kind of like, oof, I do not talk to any of the people that I've, you know, dated in the past. And I feel very bad for it, because it's, you know, oh, it's so strange. Like, I actually remember I felt very, very bad, like, but I don't, you know, it was very weird. Like, I just talking to you about this, it reminds me of the story. So, I didn't talk about this, but actually, so I've never been in a relationship either, actually.
That's it.
Yeah,
we have to start talking about it, because people sugarcoat things, and there is a lot of people out there like, it's fine.
Yeah, so I've
but known, I know, as yeah. I say, I always as well put a little bit more time to make people think that my relationships are valid somehow.
Yeah, no, I feel that. So I've never been like in a, you know, like, we're exclusive and we're dating. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, there was like, you know, there was this one guy that I was, sort of dating, I guess, for a little bit, in college. And then, you know, we kind of stopped talking to each other, and we saw each other again very randomly at this Pride event. And
yeah.
And it was so, 'cause basically what happened, and I always feel kind of bad for this, is like, I kind of stopped talking to him. I kind of like cut him out, just because, you know, the full story here is that I kind of asked to be in a relationship, and that, you know, he said no, and but he wanted to, you know, still kind of keep up what we were doing.
Yeah.
But I didn't want that, so I kind of just slowly like exited from that. And, you know, we were actually like pretty good friends, and basically when we saw each other again, like, I'm the one that said hi and everything, but we could both kind of tell there was just something so off. Like, it felt like we were strangers again, you know, like kind of like how you were saying. And, you know, in my head, I was like, this is normal, but I could kind of tell that he was just kind of very put off by it. You know what I mean?
By what? By the fact that you haven't been in touch, or
more
how
just
it disappeared,
like,
or?
I think more like the fact that, I guess a good comparison would be like imagine if, you know, you have this certain rapport with someone, like the certain relationship, like it's like if you know if you and I were dating, for example, and we talked all the time, and we, you know, we just had this very fun way of communicating, and like it was kind of like lightning when we were each other, and then we stopped talking to each other, and then the next time we see each other, it's like very like, oh hi, hello, how are you doing, like it's very, it's not the same.
Oh, I see what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of shocking, because, you know, we went from, you know, just being very tangled up in each other to, oh, it's nice to see you again, like, very pleasant trees, and, yeah.
For listening to this episode of Undateables. This episode was recorded using Zencaster.com and uploaded via Anchor.fm. The music that you listen on it is by Steph Sachs via Creative Commons. We are not being paid, but we like to share things that work for us. In case you want to contact us, we are on undateablespodcast@gmail.com, or we are on Instagram by Undateables Podcast.